I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Proverbs 23 this evening. Proverbs 23. And we're going to have our Bible study first, and then we'll go to prayer to remember several requests that we have tonight. We're continuing in our series on maintaining our fire for God. Now, that's a metaphor, obviously. And the Bible, we take that from the Scriptures where it says that John the Baptist was a burning and shining light. The Bible tells us in Matthew that we are supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And understand that those lights back then were not LED or digital lights. Those were fires. They held up a candle, or they had a torch. They had a fire. And you and I are to serve the Lord with Him lighting our pathway. And we need to be good reflectors, amen? If our reflector is filthy and dirty, we're not going to shine much light. And we need to do that. I was reading just recently about the telescope that is out in outer space. There are two of them. And before they left, the men spent weeks cleaning the lens of the mirror. They said if there was any kind of speck, it would be amplified to such greatness that it would blur the entire picture that they would take. And so they had to go over every square inch to make sure that it was clean. And I'm so thankful that God gives us the Word of God. This is the cleansing agent for the believer. And you and I have to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word. The washing of the water of the Word, we're told. To keep ourselves clean so that we can reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to pick up with number 6 tonight. And it's this right here, that you and I need to develop an honest belief system based on God's truth and not my opinion about God's truth. There is a huge difference between my opinion about God's truth and what God actually says in His Word. We can be so taken with an idea about a Scripture verse and have an opinion about it and be totally wrong. How many times have we been wrapped up in some truth that was passed down for somebody that was in the family or whatever? I was talking to an individual not too long ago. We were on the subject of baptism, and their personal belief was that they were saved the moment that they were baptized. And I told him, I said, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that we're saved the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the moment we're saved. It's not having nothing to do with water. Baptism is an outward show. We talked about that on Sunday when we had our baptism with Nathan. And that was an opinion that was based on an idea that comes from the Bible, baptism, but they were wrong. There are literally hundreds and thousands of opinions about the Bible. Some have some merit, others don't. But if I'm going to be a light for Christ and shine forth His greatness and shine forth His glory, as a believer in Christ, I've got to make sure that the reflector is reflecting what He says, not what I think He says. That's an opinion, what I think He says. With my hearing, sometimes I hear things and I don't get them clearly correct. And sometimes I have to go back and apologize. And I thought you said this. I'm so sorry. I didn't get it the first time. Well, that's because of poor hearing. And I've got these two elephant ears on here to try to help me to hear. But even with that, sometimes I don't hear correctly. Sometimes we can take half-truths and run with them and turn them into complete truths when they're not. So I want us to look at this passage in Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7, because there's some truth here in these verses that will help us to understand the need to develop an honest belief system based only on God's truth and not just my opinion about God's truth. I mean, it's coming to grips with truth. Not hypocritical truth. Truth that we really talk about, but we really don't believe. There are a lot of people like that. They'll talk a good game, but in their heart and in their real life, they don't really believe that. I was talking to a gentleman that had called me from out of state, and he was telling me, he said, we had a situation in our church where we had an individual that had always been really strong on Bible doctrine and so forth like that, came up with this aberrant teaching, started pushing it within the church, and it just got to the point that we just had to part ways. And he said, I was stunned. But then the man later confessed to another person within the church that he believed that particular truth all along. He was just riding with the group. Now, that reminded me that there are people like that, that will fit in a particular group and they'll say they believe a certain thing, but in reality, they don't. I found that to be true about people dealing with the truth of the rapture. There are a lot of people that don't believe that, really. They believe that that's some type of thing, but they'll fit with the group. They'll fit in with the group. There are people that believe certain things that the Bible doesn't even espouse. Something that was passed down generationally, a belief system. We've got to be careful. We've got to come to grips with the truth. The truth should transform us. It's the only thing that will set you free. Are you listening to me now? God's truth, not your opinion about truth, but God's truth will set you free from the bondage of the world's truth, cultural truth, even my truth that you hear so much, that phrase that gets bandied around. Well, that's my truth. Well, your truth may be sincerely held, but may be sincerely wrong. So we've got to let God's truth grip our hearts and pull us away from all the baggage and all the things we've been taught. All right? About many a thing. All right? So let's get into this. Look at Proverbs 23 about this particular point. Beginning at verse 6. This is the beginning of a new paragraph. It's three verses long, 6, 7, and 8. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. That's kind of an odd expression, is it not? How do you know if somebody has an evil eye? Interesting. Neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Now this thought is all one thought here. And you got to follow it through from beginning to end of what the writer, the wise one, is sharing here. You'll find out whether a person has an evil eye by what they teach, by what they share. Their words are like dainty treats. I'm going to use Milton Bakery donuts. All right. And boy, people come from all around. They love Milton Quality Bakery and all the goodies that they have down there. It's a wonderful treat. It tastes so good. But then you find out, once you eat it, what happens? Verse 8. When you eat it, it makes you sick and you vomit it up. Something was wrong. Now, we had a student this week texted me and said, Mr. Brainerd, I can't come into work. I've got food poisoning. He went out to a local restaurant. I won't say which one. It was a local restaurant, and they had a big family get together, and they ate, and every one of them got sick. They were all at home all night long throwing up. All right? Now, the food, this is what the young man said, the food tasted wonderful. It was so good. We've never gotten sick here before. but we all got sick from it. Something was in that food that was not healthy, and it caused them to all get sick. Now, they're all better. They're over that. They got over the food poisoning. Everybody's fine. They don't know what it was, though. Was it the vegetables? Was it the meat? Was it the salad? Could have been the salad, something that was in that. Something made them sick. It wasn't good. It looked good, but it had something that you couldn't see with your eyes in it that was bad. This is the thought here. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. He's tainted the bread. He's put something in the bread that's going to make you sick. And it's going to look like a dainty treat. It's going to be beautiful to the eye. It is going to even taste good going down. But something's wrong with it, and it's going to stir the stomach. You get those, stomach cramps, and then all comes up. Technicolor yawn, as they call it. Yeah. Now, why would God Almighty touch Solomon to share something like this? What concern does God have here? We got to be careful. We have to be careful. We have to be careful in the sense that we may not know someone's ulterior motives until it plays out. Something was put in that bread. The person has an evil eye. So it's purposeful. Understand that. That's what's behind the Hebrew there, the evil eye. It's a purposeful action by this individual because they have an evil motive. But you don't know that. You and I don't know that. We're not aware of that. But then when the sickness comes, you say something was wrong with the food. And then a connection is made because you know where you got the food, right? Now, every restaurant is inspected. They have inspections that go on. I know Brother Bill probably has inspections. We have inspections up here, our kitchens. We're all inspected. They're looking to make sure that we don't have it. And every week in the Pensacola News Journal, they put in a list of all the restaurants that got closed down temporarily. And boy, they put all the disgusting things on their little reports and so forth like that you do. And you vow, I'll never go back there again. But then you eventually do, right? You know, because we really like their food. And we know, living in Florida, there's going to be roaches. There's going to be rats. There's going to be those things that work their way in. And you got to take care of them and keep everything clean, right? It doesn't mean that we have to all stop eating when these things happen. It just means we have to do a better job cleaning. That's all. Here we find an individual who has an evil eye. He has evil intent. He wants to hurt and harm. Now, if I am constantly in a state of being harmed, I'm not being careful. You understand where we're going with this? If you hear of a doctor that has a whole series of things, we have that Gulf Breeze doctor that ended up killing his wife through a surgery, and she ended up dying. And then it came out that there was a whole string of events that had happened in that office where people had to go to the hospital afterwards and so forth like that. It was a whole string. Well, he's done. He's toast. He's no longer practicing medicine. But then there are others, like the driver down in South Florida, who was an illegal alien, who was given a CDL license in California, who didn't even pass the test, and they just gave it to him. DEI. Okay? He could only read one out of the, I think it was 12 signs that he was supposed to, he only could read one. What? 2 out of 12. Right. So he didn't even know basic English. And yet he was given a license, and three people are dead tonight in one group in a van. It was just sickening to watch the whole thing. And it could have been avoided if he'd have just been able to read the signs. But he's toast tonight. He'll never drive again. And he's going to be on his way out of the country because he was here illegally. Now, my point is not to talk about immigration tonight. My point is this, that error can slip in quite easily, unintentionally, or intentionally into our lives. And it can affect us. It can make some people extremely bitter. Some people become to the point where they want nothing to do with church, nothing to do with Bible teaching, because they were affected by somebody that introduced error, and they said that's the way all churches are, when they're not. But they come to that position. You and I need to understand that our heart should be in tune with the truth of God's Word, and that we're not to allow things to come into it that taint it, including our opinions. Because that can happen. Your opinion needs to be formed by God. Are you following? Our opinions need to be formed by God, not just because I heard this whenever I was growing up, and my grandpa would have never told me anything wrong. But he may have been sincerely wrong and just didn't understand or know that. We oftentimes, I know old-fashioned cures in the South, right? Anybody ever had turpentine mixed with honey given to you when you have sore muscles? Roger and I did. That was an old-fashioned remedy. I won't tell you, it was the worst tasting. The honey had no impact whatsoever. It didn't affect turpentine. And then you find out turpentine is poison. And we took it. Our muscle joints didn't hurt, but we had terrible taste in our mouth for a week after that. Now, understand something. That was passed down from generation, and it was dangerous. It was not a good thing to do. Now, these people that passed it down thought they were doing a good thing. They were sincerely wrong. They'd been told it was good, and it was bad. This, folks, is a premise that the Bible is laying out here. It's easy to rest on opinion rather than rest on what does God say? Not what I thought He said, not what I hoped He would say, but rather rest on the truth itself. This will allow the light of Jesus Christ to be reflected from us. We don't have any light of our own. When He says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, who lit the light? It was Christ. He is the light of the world. And He is to shine forth from me that men may see our good works and glorify us. No, God the Father, which is in heaven. But we have to be good reflectors. Inconsistency is another factor here that I want you to see. Not being consistent with our understandings of the Word of God. And this can happen intentionally, it can happen unintentionally. And sometimes more damage is caused by the unintentional, not necessarily the intentional, because we were careless, we were not careful. To be inconsistent means to infer the negation or destruction of something else that's good. Men are sometimes inconsistent with themselves. We're not honest that our opinion could be wrong. Normally we say, well, my opinion's right. This is right. This is the way I believe. That's the way I am. Well, you could be wrong. Check it out with the Word. Amen. Check it out with the Word of God. Let the Word of God be the instructor. If the instructor says what you're doing is wrong, then change the way you do it. I've been walking the property out here, and it's amazing. Evidently, there was a home place out here sometime in the past. I'm finding stuff from the 19-teens and 1920s out here, just buried out in the dirt. And I found what's called a knob and tube electrical components. Back in the 1910s and 1920s, early 1930s, all the electrical wires were run along the wall, exterior wall. If they built a new house, they would run them on the inside of the wall, and it was basically porcelain that was put, the two wires would come up, and the porcelain would keep the two wires separate, but it was all in the open air because wires back then would overheat. They weren't very well made. The copper was not tight like it was supposed to be. And so they had the knob, which allowed it to turn and go around corners. They would put in the tube, which was ceramic. They'd drill a hole in the 2x4, put the ceramic tube in there, and run the wire through it so the wood wouldn't get hot and catch on fire. Guess what? They outlawed it in 1936. The United States government said too many houses had burnt down. Good intentions. We're going to use ceramic products, porcelain products. We've got the tubes so that when they overheat, they won't burn. But guess what? They didn't count on rats chewing the wires up. And the wires getting cut and sparking and starting flames. And so they came out with Romex, I think is what they came out with. It was all self-contained, wrapped in there. And wrapped in cloth to start with, and then eventually went to foil, and then eventually to our plastics that we have today. Good intentions. The man who invented knob and hook became a multimillionaire. But you know how many houses burned down? I mean, it's not even you can't even number the total because so many of them went up in smoke. And they had all kinds of, it could have been a kerosene lamp, but it was more likely those overheated wires chewed up by a rat or a squirrel that got into the attic or the walls and began to chew on those wires, and people died. People lost their homes. Good intentions. We hope this will work to get you power into your house, but in 1936, they said it's too dangerous. Can't do that anymore. And so they were outlawed. Good intentions, folks, are not enough. God needs to speak His word to our hearts without me forming my opinions about it before He says it. Follow me now. Sometimes we can be, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. And wait, let's read it in context. Let's make sure we're not saying something that we shouldn't say. Very important. A man who says one thing but deep down doesn't believe it is a hypocrite. In verse 7, the first word heart is actually the word normally translated soul in the Old Testament. And the second occurrence of heart is the normal word for heart, cardia, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Can I see your heart? Can you see my heart? No. There's mystery involved in that, isn't there? There are things we don't know. So we have to deal with things with grace, but at the same time, we deal with it in truth. Jesus didn't come just for grace. He came grace and truth. And so both of those things are consistent. They work together. You never separate one from the other. Grace always honors truth, and truth always honors grace, because that's Jesus Christ. That's the picture that's made. He calculates this one in his soul. That's a translation of that first verse that we read in verse 6. Eat not thou the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire that his dainty meats. For he, in other words, he calculates in his soul a certain outcome for you. I'm going to manipulate you. I'm going to get you to believe a certain thing or a certain way and come over to my way of thinking. And it's not right. Do you see how this can affect you negatively? It can be an awful, terrible thing that happens. The second word, heart, refers back to the innermost part of our being. The affective center of our being, the capacity for us to make moral choices and desires. the desire producer that makes us tick. That's the heart. He says in that second part there, but his heart is not with thee. The center of his affections is not with you. Where is his center of affections? It's with himself. He's not thinking about you. He's thinking about himself. And so when we are instructed in the Word of God, when we listen to people on the radio, if you watch television, you've got to be a discerning soul. You've got to be a discerning soul, because that's the word that's used about the man that wants to manipulate you. In his soul, he wants to manipulate you to a certain view and understanding. That is not a faithful teacher of God's Word. And so it can affect us. It can smudge the lens where we're not accurate reflectors of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what can clean it? The washing of the water of the Word. Do I hear an amen? The washing of the water of the Word.